Retail sales fell sharply in December. That was not expected. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The government reported today that retail sales fell 1.2% in December, despite the government shutdown that began that month and despite the sharp drop in stock prices that we saw just before Christmas. Economists were expecting sales to rise slightly. The drop in sales affected nearly everything, not just gasoline, which is part of this. It was the biggest decline in monthly retail sales in America since the Great Recession, since the fall of 2009. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This covers retail sales in December, where a government shutdown began. You think that was relevant?
I think that the December government shutdown had the biggest impact as we moved into January. We had a lot of volatility during the month. It was not good news, but it wasn't until later in the month when most people had done their holiday shopping. The biggest impact of the government shutdown is going to show up at the start of the year in January. We had 35 days of people not getting paychecks, and not just the government workers that got paid back, a lot of contractors who didn't get paid at all, and of course people working in restaurants across from federal buildings that did not get paid that month. So this actually puts us in the hole to dig ourselves out of in January when we were set back even more by the government shutdown.
All right, so icky for December, but does that imply we did most of our spending the month before, November, Thanksgiving?
We did see better sales in the month of November, but again, they were not as strong as originally reported. So what we're looking at is overall a consumer that after having a really driving overall economic gains during mid-year, kind of petered out. And that really is disturbing because we thought that was some of the momentum that would help carry us into 2019. This is one of those warning flags we see out there. When it really gets bad and there's a lot of uncertainty out there, people pull back.
Diane Swonk at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thank you.
Thank you.
New car sales have been high for the past few years, and that means there are a lot more car loans out there and more delinquent ones as well. According to a report from the New York Fed, there are 7 million borrowers who are at least 90 days late on their payments, the most since 2012, especially people under 30. Marketplace's Erica Barra says more.
People under 30 are often just settling into their careers and carrying student loan debt. As a result, says Joelle Scally, an economic analyst with the New York Fed,
the youngest borrowers typically do have lower credit scores,
making it more likely they'll end up with a subprime loan with a high interest rate. RJ Cross is an analyst with Frontier Group. She says the average loan term for a new car is 68 months versus the old standard of 48 months. That brings down the monthly payments. But borrowers?
They're going to be paying more in interest rates over the long term. And so it is right now, it's never been cheaper to own a more expensive car.
Cross says that's made it a little too easy for some car buyers to get in over their heads. And says Teresa Ghilarducci at the New School for Social Research, car loans are only part of the cost.
Younger people often have to pay more insurance. Younger people often have more accidents.
And new cars come with a lot of bells and whistles, making them more expensive to repair. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Now, we don't have independent confirmation about the following, but Bloomberg News is reporting that the Trump administration is thinking about extending the China trade deadline. On March 1st, U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods are set to go up sharply, but the Bloomberg piece suggests an openness on the Trump team to moving that trigger ahead by maybe 60 days. There's word today China's exports to the U.S. were higher than expected in January. The thought is companies were trying to move the merchandise before the Lunar New Year vacations and ahead of the current March 1st trade deadline. A story now on industry lobbying to fight climate change. The ski industry is now contending with winters that are shorter. Allie Budner of the Mountain West News Bureau filed this for us from Colorado.
Aspen Skiing Company recently launched an ad campaign called Give a Flake. A music video shows action shots on the mountain with messages like, if you love powder days, protect your passion, join the movement. Christian Knapp is the marketing director for Aspen. It owns 4 resorts in the region. Knapp says Aspen's ski season is getting shorter, and in the season that ended last year, the company took a financial hit to the tune of millions of dollars because there was so little snow. But he says this isn't just about his business.
It's a much bigger issue to the vitality and the vibrancy of our sport.
And the economy. In 2016, the Commerce Department estimates that snow activities generated about $11.3 billion in revenue nationwide. An Aspen skiing company is giving its visitors direct tools to get involved.
There's a really cool Twitter widget where you can go in and put in your zip code, and it will pull up your state senators and representatives.
The app shows how those politicians have voted on climate issues.
And then you can choose to generate a tweet at them.
Knapp has even gone to Washington to lobby lawmakers in person. Smaller ski areas, like Arapahoe Basin, 80 miles west of Denver, are lobbying locally. Walking the trails of A-Basin, as it's called, Mike Nathan explains. Nathan is A-Basin's sustainability manager. He says politics are important in his job, but
I don't think we'd feel very right about touting this climate action and advocacy if we weren't actually doing anything here. You know, you got to walk the walk, too.
Nathan oversees energy efficiency and waste reduction programs. He says it saves his ski area money, nearly $10,000 in electricity alone. But it's also about setting an example. Though he says a few potential visitors sometimes push back.
We'll have a Facebook post around some sustainability win or a new project. And there's always like one person that's like, oh, great. Hey, Basin's political now. I guess I won't come.
Still, more and more people expect companies to stand for something beyond just making money. That's according to Suzanne Shelton, founder and CEO of Shelton Group, a marketing firm that focuses on sustainability.
If you're a company that relies on people to come ski, you're about snow, then of course I would expect you to take a stand on climate change and global warming.
In January, several large ski industry associations joined forces to form the Outdoor Business Climate Partnership to push for more action. In Colorado Springs, I'm Allie Budner for Marketplace.
The other day, I spotted these off-brand Valentine's hard candies. The little sayings like, be mine and kiss me, were misaligned, and they were disturbingly larger than you'd expect. Why? Because the real thing is not available this year, and therein lies a business story. Here's reporter Janet Babin.
They taste like sugar mixed with chalk. But New York University nutrition professor Lisa Sasson says sweethearts aren't about the flavor.
I never really liked the taste of them, but it was always fun to get the right color and to get that fun message.
For more than a century, the New England confectionery company, or Necco, manufactured sweethearts. And then last year, the company went out of business. Spangler Candy bought the brand, but said it couldn't ramp up production in time for this Valentine's Day. It promises sweethearts will return next year, but it's doubtful we'll wait. Food industry analyst Darren Seifer at NPD Group says candy tastes are fickle.
Come next year, if they're going to try and relaunch this brand, they're going to have to do a lot of marketing.
In the meantime, there are plenty of other ways to say be mine with candy today. M&Ms with personal messages, kisses, or chocolate hearts. And Brock's Confectionery says you can still find its pastel-colored conversation hearts in stores nationwide. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And Boeing has its 777 Super Jumbo, and rival Airbus of Europe has its A380 double-decker behemoth. Well, Airbus said today it's pulling the plug on that. We'll stop making the new A380s by 2021. This after Emirates Airline cut back on its order, finding them hard to fill with passengers. This could cost 3,500 jobs. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.